Let us offer our consecration to the Lord. Lord, we offer up to you this day, and we ask that your name be glorified in all that we do. We ask that we may know, love you, and serve you. We ask that we may honor you. We ask that we may glorify your name. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Well, today is the beginning of the 30th week of Ordinary Time. It is also in this week we're about to go through is the beginning, of course, is the of the last month of the liturgical year, the month of November. And during all of this time, we focus on the end times, which is why November is the month we remember those who have gone before us. It is also the month of All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day, which are coming on later on in this week. And it's also the month that begins after Halloween, because Halloween, which of course we all know means All Hallows' Eve, is connected to All Saints' Day. So it is that month where we look at all those things that those who have gone before us and those things that we want to remember as we prepare to stand before the Lord. So it's an interesting month. In any case, as we look at this month and we look at today we're beginning the week with more of Paul's letter to the Romans. And it's an interesting phrase that we're going to look at today, because one of the things that we recognize in that phrase is he's talking about the issue of the flesh. We are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Now, I was reading a passage from Richard Rohr, who is at the Center for Active... Let me make sure I have that correct. Hold on just a minute. The Center for Action and Contemplation. I believe it's CAC.org. And yeah, in fact, it is. But anyway, he's runs a center for a form of Christian mysticism and prayer and all different concepts of contemplation. Contemplation is a very deep form of prayer practiced in Christianity, mostly in Catholicism and the Orthodox faiths. So it's a very powerful and deep form of prayer. The rosary is actually a form of contemplation. And prayer is central to who we are as Catholics. Well, one of the things he brought out, which is fascinating, because before I say what he explained, I want us to understand that all language develops. So language changes and develops, but also everything develops. So words expand their meaning, or words change or are invented or whatever in relation to how the culture is around them. So words that you may experience to mean one thing may mean something else in another generation. Great example I have that actually happened to me, and this is in Spanish. So when I was in Ecuador, there was, we understood the word ahorita, which means right now. It actually is the diminutive form of the word now, which is ahora. So right now. So anyway, when I was at St. Rose in Chelsea, and someone would come to say, "Father, I'd like to talk to you," and I would say, "Sure," and I would in Spanish, and I would say, "Por favor, podemos vernos, encontrarnos en la casa parroquial ahorita," and what that means, yeah, we can meet in the what they call the parish house, but we call the rectory, right now, is the way I was trying to say. And all of a sudden they look at me and they walk away. And I'm like, so finally there was a Dominican nun, Dominican meaning from the Dominican Republic, not the religious order Dominican. And I asked her, I said, "Why does that happen?" She said, "Because in Ecuador, ahorita means right now. In the Dominican Republic, it means later." So same word and has different translations. Well, one of the things that we see in the whole key of Romans 8, which is our first reading today, is that there we are called not to be debtors to the flesh. And as Richard Rohr explains, the word that St. Paul uses there is sarx, but he says it's the same word that Jesus came in the flesh. So what is St. Paul saying? Because he's saying this from a negative perspective, whereas we recognize that Jesus came in the flesh in a positive perspective. And he said, really, we have to understand the word as St. Paul uses is ego. And that's an important concept, because when we really understand the ego in today's terms, we understand it through Sigmund Freud and his concept of ego and id. And we don't hear it as it was understood, or better yet, as it was not understood in the first century. We'll be right back right after this. Don't forget to tell others where they can find our program. You can hear us on WEZE 590 AM and WEZERadio.com at midnight and 3 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. We then podcast the program on your favorite podcast platform and at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can also hear us on our parish website, ST for SaintAnthonyAlston.org. That's SaintAnthonyAlston.org. And let others know where they can find us and spread the word and subscribe to our podcast. We're back, and we're talking about this powerful experience that St. Paul is talking about is not to be debtors of the flesh from today's first reading, but we want to understand what that means. So Richard Rohr explains that it's really about ego, and that would make more sense because he says the term is used in a positive way in the Gospels, and St. Paul used it in a negative way. But when we understand ego, in other words, and this makes a lot of sense when you see this through the history of the church, one of the things we want to look at is always look at everything within the concept of the basic. And what is the basic? The basic we can find in Genesis. And what is the first sin? You will be like gods. And that is always the warning sign of where you do not want to walk, is to be in a position where you affirm yourself as God. Because when you affirm yourself as God, then you can look out and see the reality of what you believe, but there's no room for God in any of that. And so you never want to be in that situation. What is the most important virtue? It is humility, understanding that God is greater than us. And many of the saints practiced a form of humility where they looked upon others as much better than them. So humility is the mother of all virtues. And so when we focus on eliminating that self-focus, that sarx, then we can understand, in sarx in the terms that that's what St. Paul used, and Richard Rohr explains that means ego, that form of what he meant, then it makes a lot more sense, because then we can get into the Manichaean ways, which looks upon everything to do with the flesh as bad. And we can get into some of the other teachings that have happened over the past 2,000 years, including Jansenism, which is very common, has been common since the days it exploded in France several centuries ago. And we can even see it within our own world today. You can clearly see it all the time on the internet. It's just that whole concept that very few people are saved, and no one's working hard enough to be saved, which means no one's going to be saved. And that's very strong in many Catholic circles, especially in the more reactionary side of Catholicism, and it's something that's really a serious problem. So Paul is talking about, instead of that concept, to look at the ego, and that means to focus on elsewhere that is not feeding my ego, is to look in such a way as to realize that we have all our talents and abilities because of God and not because of ourselves, which is why we, as St. Paul calls us, to dedicate ourselves to thankfulness, because everything that we receive from the providence of God. And this is one of the more important aspects of what St. Paul is saying. But it can be easily misunderstood. So it reminds me of a time when someone really didn't understand their faith well, and he was trying to convert someone, and this person they wanted to convert said, well, you know, I can take you to my church this week. And he said, no, I don't want to go. He says, I want to go have fun. And the man said, what is fun? We don't want fun. And that's really an extreme version of that form of focusing on the flesh and not understanding the ego. Well, of course we're called to have fun. As a matter of fact, Thomas Merton said that if we don't have pleasure, we have to have it within its proper context. But if we don't have it, we'll get very discouraged. It's absolutely an essential part of our lives, but not the essential or not the prime essential. And this is basically where Paul is leaning us towards. We'll be back tomorrow. You're listening to St. Anthony Overnight. I want to call your attention to Catholic TV, which offers great faith-filled, family-friendly programming 24 hours a day. You can find your cable channel at www.getcatholictv.com, and you can watch online on the free apps or check out the YouTube channel. Daily Mass, Rosaries, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and the Our Lady of Perpetual Help Novena are all available online and on demand. Check out CatholicTV.com. If you would like to support our program, please consider a donation to St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts. There are several ways to consider this. One is to purchase any of our merchandise, which you can find at the shopping tab at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. There are coffee mugs there. There's also my latest book, Encounter Christ in Your Humanity, all of which you can find at the shopping tab at CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can also donate to the show directly through either the Donate tab, also at CatholicAudioMedia.com, or by sending a donation to the U.S. Postal Service with your questions and comments at 43 Holton Street, Allston, Massachusetts, 02134. That's St. Anthony Parish, 43 Holton Street, Allston, Massachusetts, 02134. Finally, the best way you can support our parish is to attend Mass on Sundays at 10 o'clock and be a part of our parish. We thank you for any support you would like to give to St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts, the sponsoring parish for this media outreach to Catholics and other Christians in the WROL, WEZE, and podcast listening audience. In Cristo vivimos.